booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Now, one that will take into
account Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Unfortunately for you, Juliet Huddy is still away in Europe on vacation. It was great to have her check in with us yesterday. I'm Frank Morano, flying solo for the next 90 minutes. But don't worry, there is plenty of news to get to. Sid Rosenberg has got sports. Deb Valentine, as you just heard, has all the latest local and national news. Joe Nolan has got traffic and transit on the sevens. And the great Lloyd Lindsey Young will be saying hello as he gives you the weather. And there is a ton of news that we are following. No story, though, more interesting than the New York City mayor's race, because it involves one of our own, our former colleague, longtime WABC radio talk show host and founder of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa, is now officially the Republican nominee for mayor. And yesterday, lo and behold, he does a press conference right in front of our building, joined by our owner, John Catsimatidis, and he was introduced by the co-host of the Bernie and Sid show, Sid Rosenberg. Now, how Sid managed to get involved in this press conference, I'll never understand, but that's what makes him Sid, is he just finds a way to get right in the middle of the thick of things. And this press conference was all about Curtis detailing his plans for the future. And he was asked, or he actually volunteered this information, what his next police commissioner would look like. And if he's elected mayor, who the police commissioner might be. This is what he said.
But it's time for others to rise up in the ranks. I know many of the men and women who are white shirts, who have proven themselves out in the street. The next police commissioner has to be with the men and women in the precincts and the streets. I don't want him at one police plaza or her at one police plaza.
And it is interesting, there's some Teddy Roosevelt-related news as well, but when Teddy Roosevelt was police commissioner in New York City, he would do that. He would ride the trains. He would go out on the street at night, and he would keep a, you know, a beat like a regular police officer would. So it's interesting that in some ways Curtis's idea seems very new, but in other ways, it's very much a throwback to the days of Theodore Roosevelt serving as police commissioner. But it was a fascinating press conference. We may play you some other clips of it throughout the course of the next 90 minutes. And it's something that we'll be following as Curtis's campaign unfolds. Now, for those of you watching the Democratic contest, it looks like Eric Adams is going to be the nominee. He's got a big lead, but they're still waiting for some absentee ballots to come in. And because no candidate received 50% of the vote or more, they're going to go through the whole ranked choice voting process and see where that leaves us. But Eric Adams has a pretty heavy lead, and he's likely to be the nominee. And speaking of leads, you should be taking your lead from Joe Nolan if you are on your way to work this morning, because he's got traffic and transit on the sevens. Hello there, Joe.
And good morning, Frank, and good morning, everybody. And we're starting out with a couple of problems out here. First of all, on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, on the southbound side coming down to the Manhattan Bridge, there was an accident there a little earlier on. Just in the last couple of minutes, they got it out of the way. And as a result, you're backed up to Flushing Avenue. So look for delays there. Not that bad coming southbound on the BQE. Now, if you're going to be traveling out onto the Brooklyn-bound horizontal, that lower level is going to be closed for maintenance. Now, Staten Island bound, the upper level has three lanes closed as well. Mass Transit, we do have delays on the A and the Q, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are in effect. And this report is a service of Rocket Mortgage. When you're ready to buy a new home and want a mortgage lender who can help you plan with certainty, Rocket can. Get personalized loan options, closing costs, tax estimates, all in real time. Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Well, time for you to be enlightened when it comes to weather, and presiding at the Ramsey Mazda Weather Desk is the one and only Lloyd Lindsey Young. Lloyd, how's the weather looking this morning?
Hello, Montauk, Long Island. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Hey, the weather is simple as ABC. Not much is happening, but it's pleasant. It's nice. Below normal temperatures continuing the next couple of days. Kind of cool this morning, especially out there in the suburbs. Readings in the mid to upper 50s, about 60. in Manhattan. Maximum temperatures today look good. Upper 70s, no more than 80 degrees anywhere. And if you're heading to the shore, how about a spiffy 75 degrees? It's all going to change a little somewhat over the weekend. More humidity, little more humid. Oh, and by the way, a few little showers could trickle in very early tomorrow morning from a very minor system. But all in all, we're looking good in all the neighborhoods, even out on Long Island. Fabulous weather for the tri-state area. Lloyd Lindsay-Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. I mean, that's just fabulous. Fabulous. I could listen to him do the weather all day long. All day long. An artist when it comes to the weather. Now, a restaurant in Massachusetts is accepting an alternative form of payment. For 2 hours on Wednesday, Ralph's Tavern in Worcester accepted Monopoly money from customers. The game bills were good for admission, Frankfurters, and Jello shots, but could not be used for alcohol. The move was made as a way to persuade patrons to vote the tavern in a Worcester version of the board game. So extra points for creativity as far as I'm concerned. Fast food mainstay Taco Bell is introducing a new twist to one of its most successful items, the Naked Chalupa. According to Taco Bell, the company is looking to reinvent chalupas. It's a game-changing invention by creating and testing a plant-based shell. The Naked Chalupa, with a crispy plant-based shell that's available at only one location in Irvine, California, until June 27th. So I know you're a Taco Bell enthusiast, Christian. You may have to make a field trip to Irvine and check this out. See how the Naked Chalupa with the plant-based shell shapes up.
I absolutely will.
Power couple Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner are listing their Los Angeles mansion. The impending move comes less than a year after welcoming their first child into the world. The home is made up of 9 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, and spans 15,000 square feet on almost an acre of land. Located within the secluded Royal Oaks neighborhood, the contemporary home comes upgraded with a spa, gym, theater, wine cellar, and features custom-made chandeliers. The singer and Game of Thrones actress are asking $16.7 million for the sprawling estate. So if that's in your price range, you may want to call the Irvine Real Estate listings. Europe is getting another option to travel by train. French startup Midnight Trains is launching an overnight sleeper train. They're calling a hotel on rails in 2024. The Paris-based company announced a plan to create a rail network connecting its hub to 12 other cities across 7 countries, including the UK. The sleeper train will feature affordable private rooms and dining options. Midnight Train said their idea comes in response to travelers needing an alternative for medium-distance travel that's more eco-conscious than air travel. And one married couple's love story is turning into a tall tale. A British man and his wife, who is nearly 2 feet taller than him, have been awarded a Guinness World Record for greatest height difference between a married couple. James Lusted measured in at 3 feet 7 inches, while his wife Chloe measured in at 5 foot 5. Chloe said their love story has taught them you can never judge a book by its cover. Isn't that nice? A love story for our ages. President Biden is taking action before a possible summer spike in crime. He unveiled new steps to crack down on gun violence as homicides soared 30% last year. That includes cutting off the flow of illegally sold firearms. He launched a zero tolerance policy aimed at gun dealers, saying merchants of death are breaking the law for profit. He's also helping states get more police officers using federal COVID relief money. And the FDA is adding a warning to Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines. It's about cases of heart inflammation in kids and young adults. A CDC advisory group found a link between myocarditis after vaccination. They say that most patients recover and do well, but stress the benefits of the shots outweighing the risk. The Department of Health and Human Services points out the side effects are rare and are encouraging everyone over the age of 12 to get the vaccine. Could be, could give some people pause nonetheless. The military's top officer is defending the study of critical race theory. General Mark Milley told a House committee it's important to be open-minded and widely read. His testimony came after one congressman said soldiers were concerned about being taught the subject, and another said cadets had attended a talk on white rage. Milley asked what was wrong with having some situational understanding about the country they're defending. General Milley is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. All right. Well, at 5:15, we always check in with Sid Rosenberg, who's got sports. What a sports day it was. Baseball news, hockey news. I'm sure news and sports I don't even know about. Sid Rosenberg has all the latest sports
news.
Well,
good morning, Frank. We'll start with the hockey. This was unbelievable. The Islanders, of course, as the New York Post says today, trying to keep the lights on at Nassau Coliseum. In an elimination game, they found themselves down 2-0 to Tampa Bay. 2-0. And they came roaring back. And eventually, in overtime, it ended like this.
Luna kept it away from Bevilier. Now Bailey over for the Islanders. Now off a giveaway, score! Anthony Bevilier sends the Islanders down to Tampa for Game 7 on Friday night.
Anthony Bevilier, that's how you say it. He gets a game-winning goal in overtime, and the Islanders come back from a 2-0 deficit, beat Tampa Bay 3-2. They force a deciding Game 7 coming up tomorrow night in Tampa. They'll drop the puck at 8. Isles and Tampa Bay now 3-3. Much like the Islander game, the Yankee game ended in very dramatic fashion, and Luke Voit was a man at the plate.
1-2. Driven to left field, going back, Dyson, still back, turning, looking, it's off the wall, here comes Wade, he scores, and the Yankees win 6-5.
It's our friend Michael K, Yes Network on the call. The Yankees get two in the bottom of the ninth, come back after Chapman blew the save and beat Kansas City 6-5. Gary Sanchez, his 12th home run of the year. The Yanks are now 4.5 behind Boston. They'll host the Royals at the stadium, a 1 o'clock tilt this afternoon. The Mets offense came alive last night. They scored 7 runs. Michael Conforto back in the lineup had 2 base hits. Jeff McNeil had 3 base hits. Lindor hit his 9th home run of the year. And the Mets beat the Braves 7-3. They're now 4 ahead of Washington, 5 ahead of Atlanta and Philadelphia. A day off with the Mets today. They start a series against the Phillies in Queens tomorrow. And finally, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA, the Hawks. Quite a story they become. They beat the top seed Bucks 116-113. Sports at 15 and 45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. But sports, I'm Sid.
5:17, we're going to hear more of Sid a little bit later, not only with more sports, but giving us a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. We'll also hear what it was like to be at that press conference with John Catsimatidis and Curtis Sliwa yesterday. Somebody that was not asked to be at that press conference was the man who does traffic for us. Did you feel a little snubbed there, Joe Nolan?
No, I didn't even know it was happening until I heard it. So
neither
I mean,
did was, I, you know. Actually. I'm not sure how that came together. I get the sense it was something sort of last minute. But we'll see what happens in terms of future press conferences. Hopefully you'll get an invitation.
Brooklyn Queens Expressway, southbound of the Manhattan Bridge. There's a crash there in the right lane. Get way on over to the left as you come on up to that. Southern State westbound at Peninsula Boulevard. Construction, 2 lanes are out. Brooklyn bound for horizontal, lower level. All lanes are closed, again, with maintenance. And then Staten Island bound, the upper level, 3 lanes are out. And, again, that for maintenance as well. Now, the Transit Authority, we have delays on the A and the Q trains. It's at least better than yesterday. Yesterday at this time, we had like 7 lines that were having delays. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, once again today, are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
5:18, 62 degrees. Find out what one California gubernatorial candidate is saying about why she wants the top job in that state. Exclusive audio coming your way in mere moments. This is the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:20, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. Here's your business update. The opening bell rings this morning after another record day for the NASDAQ. At yesterday's closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 71 points. The S&P 500 dropped 4 points. And the NASDAQ, as part of its record-breaking close, gained 18 points. A loaded lineup of economic reports this morning. Durable goods orders for May, final first quarter GDP growth, corporate profits, and the weekly look at first-time claims for unemployment benefits all come out today. Those reports are due at 8:30 this morning. A bipartisan group of senators and the White House are nearing a trillion-dollar traditional infrastructure deal. Utah Republican Mitt Romney told reporters late yesterday both sides have agreed to a framework and they'll meet with President Biden today in order to brief him. The senators say the plan includes $579 billion in new spending for a total of nearly $1 trillion over 5 years. Senators at the meeting are emphasizing the deal not only includes a price tag agreement, but also how to cover the bill, which had been a major sticking point, and that's what's happening. Now, back to the other headlines you're going to be hearing about. It is official. There will be a California recall election for the second time within the last 20 years. Californians will get to decide whether or not they want to keep Gavin Newsom as their governor. Now, that means there'll also be a recall election for who potentially takes over for Gavin Newsom. The highest profile candidate thus far is Olympian, former reality show star, and one of the most prominent trans women in the United States, Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner appeared exclusively right here on WABC last night with our own Rita Cosby. She talked about why her friends are leaving the Golden State and what can be done about it.
My friends are leaving California. Actually, we're at my hangar. The guy across right in front of me, he was packing up his hangar. I said, where are you going? And he says, I'm moving to Sedona, Arizona. I can't take it in anymore. I can't walk down the streets and see the homeless.
That was an exclusive interview that Rita Cosby did with Caitlyn Jenner last night. You can hear the full interview on WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com. Here's a little bit more of Caitlyn discussing her candidacy and why she thinks she has what it takes to have the top job.
California is such a mess, and I'm watching the decline from 1973 when I first moved to California, mm-hmm. when gas prices were 39 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. Today, the taxes are over 50 cents a gallon just for state tax, not only federal tax.
Right.
Yeah. And I go out there as an outsider, you know, a compassionate disruptor, but I'm an outsider.
That is the WABC clip of the day. You can hear the whole interview at WABCRadio.com. And that is one of the many reasons you need to be listening to Rita Cosby on a daily basis. Every night at 10 p.m., she's doing some of the finest work she's ever done. All right. The top 1% of Americans have 16 times more wealth than the bottom 50%. That's according to new numbers from the Federal Reserve. They show the wealthiest 1% controlled more than $41 trillion in the first quarter. The bottom 50% controlled less than $3 trillion collectively. The new data shows the nation's wealth increased nearly 4% during the first quarter. And legendary voice behind Rocket Man is going out with a bang. Elton John just added more stops to his farewell tour before officially retiring. The 74-year-old singer shared the news on social media, saying he's going out in the biggest possible way with the most spectacular production ever. The final leg of his tour kicks off across the country next July in Philadelphia and wraps up in Los Angeles. Tickets go on sale on Wednesday. Vice President Kamala Harris is going to the U.S.-Mexico border Friday. She'll visit El Paso, Texas, along with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Governor Greg Abbott says he believes Harris's border trip is focusing on the wrong part of the state. Abbott says Harris should head to Del Rio, not El Paso tomorrow, and speak with residents there. The Republican, Abbott, thinks Harris is ignoring the problems in the Del Rio Border Patrol sector, saying homeowners there are being overrun by gangs and smugglers. So we've been hearing a lot about this Delta variant, the Delta variant of COVID-19, which scientists say is more easily transmitted than previous varieties, is growing in New York City. Health officials say the Delta variant is now found in a little more than 5.5% of virus samples studied, a 5% higher rate than the last report. New York City is now offering at-home vaccinations to residents in order to help increase vaccination rates. Well, here's some good news, at least maybe it's good news for you. I'm not so sure. The state of emergency that has been in effect throughout New York State during the pandemic will expire today. What does that mean? It means that along with the state of emergency, takeout cocktails are gone. Takeout cocktails, which have helped many New York City restaurants and bars survive, will no longer be permitted after today. Some bars say cocktails to go accounted for 50% of their sales. Can you believe that? The state liquor authority says the only exception will be beer. You'll still be able to take a beer out to go, but nothing else. Sorry, fellas and ladies. Despite pleas from tenants for a rate increase, the New York City Rent Guidelines Board has okayed increases for rent-controlled apartment. Excuse me, I should have said, despite pleas from tenants for a rate freeze, the New York City Rent Guidelines Board has okayed increases for rent-controlled apartments. The vote by the board will make one-year leases 0% for the first 6 months, and that's followed by a 1.5% increase for the second 6 months. Two-year leases will increase by 2.5%. The new rent increase takes effect October 1st. We're going to go live to Israel in just a minute, but first let's go live to Joe Nolan, who at 527 has all the latest traffic and transit coming your way. How's it look, Joe?
Well, really not so bad. We do have those closures as we usually do. The Verrazano Bridge, the lower level closed. Brooklyn bound for maintenance. That'll be for a little while longer. Also, we have some lane closures, or had them, on the westbound side of the Southern State coming in to Peninsula Boulevard between there and Eagle Avenue. So there are going to be some delays still getting through there, but they've got the construction out of the way. And on the southbound side of the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, right around the Manhattan Bridge, there was an earlier accident. That has now also been cleared up and out of the way. Mass Transit, there were some delays on the A and the Q, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service, again, of Rocket Mortgage. Get personalized loan options, closing costs, and tax estimates in real time. When you need a mortgage to fit your family and budget, Rocket can. When you need the ability to adjust your mortgage loan in real time, Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We're going to go live to Israel. We'll find out what the new prime minister is up to and what it may mean for the United States. But first, Deb Valentine has all the latest news. Stay tuned.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, a big search and rescue underway in Surfside, Florida this morning following a partial building collapse. Happened around 2 a.m. No immediate reports of injuries or casualties. Gun reform introduced by President Biden, his attorney general, and VP yesterday. It follows recent mass shootings throughout the United States. Kamala Harris says the time for action is now following those mass shootings.
Real people on both sides of the aisle want action. So all that is left is the will and the courage to act.
Among the proposals, closing those gun loopholes, banning assault weapons and magazines, going after gun dealers who break federal law, and establishing strike forces in several cities to help stop weapons trafficking. Well, New York is paying tribute to its essential workers, including those who died during COVID-19. A monument will be placed at Battery City Park featuring an eternal flame and 19 maple trees representing 19 groups of essential workers. The announcement from Governor Cuomo yesterday.
We call it the Circle of Heroes. Maybe we drop essential workers by the time we get to Labor Day. Circle of heroes.
This memorial opens Labor Day. Well, booth workers for the MTA will no longer take cash transactions or accept damaged cards. The Tap and Pay fare system will fully replace those Metro cards by the end of 2023, but you will still be able to use cash at vending machines. You'll have to mail in your damaged cards for a replacement. Embattled R&B singer R. Kelly has been transferred from a Chicago jail to the Brooklyn Federal Detention Center. He faces trial on August 9th related to sex trafficking charges. That's your 77-second WABC news update. Now your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Nice weather, mostly sunny today, our high 73. Overnight, the low 63 with partly cloudy skies. Just a 30% chance of a shower between 2 a.m. and 8 a.m. Friday, overall partly sunny with a high of 75. That's your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Right now, 62 fair skies from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Deborah Valentine. A traffic and transit report is next, where the news never stops at WABCRadio.com.
Entertaining and informative, it's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, this is Frank Morano. Juliet Huddy still away on vacation in Italy, but another country that begins with an I is home to one of the most fascinating political stories going on in the world right now. I'm talking, of course, about Israel and their new prime minister. This prime minister came to power, Naftali Bennett, as the result of a fascinating coalition where you saw unlikely parties working together in order to form a new unity government. Here to help us break that down is Carrie Keller Lynn. She's an American immigrant to Israel and co-host of the podcast Us Among Israelis. She joins us live from Israel. Carrie, good morning. Thanks so much for joining me.
Frank, good morning. It's a pleasure.
So how is it working out with Naftali Bennett so far? I realize it's pretty early in his tenure. Anything really noteworthy thus far?
Absolutely. As you noted, we're only about a week and a half into Naftali Bennett's tenure as prime minister, Israel's first new prime minister in 12 years since Benjamin Netanyahu left. And there's a couple of things that are quite noteworthy. First of all, let's talk about the way he came in. You mentioned the coalition, how it's a coalition of a wide range of partners. Naftali Bennett became prime minister, winning only 6% of the vote. He won 7 seats in the Knesset. Had he won 10, there would not be a Naftali Bennett government. He would have joined Netanyahu and formed a right-wing government. And that's an important point because ideologically, Naftali Bennett, he's not so far off from Netanyahu. In fact, he's often considered more right-wing, where
wow.
He's different. It's where he's different. It's his operating style, totally different operating style. In addition, it's his mandate. He, at 6% of the vote, had to form this wide ranging coalition with partners from the Arab Islamist parties, from the far left, from the far right. His mandate, it's going to have to be about areas of agreement. And so you have two things, one, the operating style, and two, his mandate, his agendas. And I think both actually reflect back into Israel's relationship with the U.S.
Now,
what I mean by that.
His parents were American, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Naftali Bennett's parents were American. I think he spent a few formative years in the U.S. as well. He's a really interesting character himself. He's observantly religious. He is a member of the right-wing national religious movement called Kibbutz Lugatz, people of the Netted Kippot, who believe in a larger Israel, greater Israel. He used to be the head of the settler movement, the Yesha Council. And today, he leads a government that has, you know, Ram, an Arab Islamist party, whose head is the head of the southern branch of Israel's Islamist movement, a.k.a. Israeli Muslim Brotherhood, in his coalition with him, and he brought him in. So Naftali Bennett, really interesting guy himself, very right-wing, he's religious, his parents were American. He is a startup guy. He had a company that was formed in New York, and he made a big exit. He's known as this, like, tech entrepreneur who turned into a politician, and that actually really, really trickles down into his operating style. Whereas Bibi really centered things among himself, you know, Beebe knew agreements that no one else was aware of. Beebe negotiated the Abraham Accords without his foreign minister and without his defense minister. Beebe basically cut the foreign ministry out of foreign policy and had the Mossad run half of it on his behalf and didn't appoint consuls for years, right? Beebe centralized power himself, whereas Bennett sees himself as an executor. Bennett is an executive. He runs his government like an executive, and we're seeing that now from the beginning.
One of the things that a lot of Americans are concerned about, and if people are just tuning in, we are talking with the co-host of the Us Among Israelis podcast. Check it out wherever podcasts are available, Carrie Keller Lynn. One of the things that a lot of Americans are concerned about is the future of the Iran nuclear deal. Iran just elected a new hardline president who's expected to be much more strident than the outgoing president, Hassan Rouhani. What is Naftali Bennett saying about the new Iranian leader and what that may mean for any future Iran deal with America?
Yeah, so Naftali Bennett, to the country's benefit, is both keeping in line with certain aspects of Netanyahu's policy as well as changing them. So Bennett, he, much like Netanyahu, sees the Iranian regime as an existential threat to Israel. He thinks the Iranian acquisition of a nuclear weapon is an existential threat to Israel. Bennett himself has called Raisi, the new president-elect of Iran, the hangman of Tehran, for his background in human rights abuses and being prisoners of war. There's no joke about it. Bennett is definitely concerned about the situation. In fact, sent the Israeli Defense Forces Chief of Staff, Aviv Kochavi, to Washington this week to speak to American officials about it. Where he is strikingly different than Netanyahu is how he's engaging with Americans about it. So it's interesting. In the U.S., might not always think about it this way, but American foreign policy has reverberations into the lives of the people who live in the countries upon which America enacts its foreign policy. And what I mean by that is American foreign policy, while it's made in Washington, negotiated abroad, it has effects, tangible effects on life in Israel. And Israel does not necessarily have a part of making policy like that. And Netanyahu, in fact, his position on the Iranian deal was, we are not interacting with it. We are not advising it. We are not getting involved with it. We are not speaking to Americans about it. In fact, he barred all senior officials from speaking to the Americans and sharing the Israeli point of view on the deal, because he didn't want to give it the imprimatur of Israeli acceptance, and he did not want to feel at all bound by the deal that had he had impact on it, that he would be held by it. Wow. Bennett reversed it. So Bennett's done a few things different in his first week and a half on Iran.
I'll say, and these are all some of the stories that you can monitor if you listen to the Us Among Israelis podcast. Carrie Keller Lynn is the co-host of that podcast. Carrie, thank you so much for the time and the insight this morning. I'll look forward to our next conversation.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Frank.
5:37. Let's check in with Joe Nolan. Joe, did you ever think about launching a traffic podcast?
No.
Well, I think you should.
No. I'd have to probably do it through my company. But, yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Sure. Yeah, it'd be great.
Well, what is this company of yours? What do you guys do?
It's called Total Traffic. It's a division of iHeartRadio.
Okay. Though it's not your company.
Okay. No, I wish it was.
Yes.
I wouldn't be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day. iHeartRadio.
How's the traffic looking, Joe?
Northbound on the BQE, extra heavy industry city through Atlantic Avenue. An accident there. That's being cleared. Route 22 eastbound, bumper to bumper from the Garden State Parkway to Broad Street. And again, that because that's all in the Hillside Union area. Some road work there, and as a result on them, you're looking at a lot of heavy traffic. Just got a good look at a camera there, and it is jammed. We're also going to be looking at a problem, though, a new one southbound on the Deegan. Heavy from the 230s down to Fordham Road. An accident one lane out. That just in. Mass transit, not so bad. Alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations once again today in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
5:38. This is the WABC Early News. More business coming your way in a minute. And the Jet Set Juliet List travel update with Barry Goldsmith.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
540, 62 degrees. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. Keeping an eye on Wall Street today as the NASDAQ set another new record yesterday. The Dow and the S&P 500 were up a bit. Excuse me, they were down a bit yesterday. The Dow Jones falling 71 points, the S&P 500 dropping 4 points, but the NASDAQ gaining 18 points to close at a new record. And Warren Buffett is giving away a ton of money. He's going to donate $4.1 billion to five foundations. The money is coming from Berkshire Hathaway shares. And Buffett says he's halfway to his goal of giving away all of the company's shares that he owns. Meantime, Buffett is resigning as a trustee of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Buffett described his role with the foundation as an inactive trustee at that. Buffett's resignation comes as the Gateses are getting divorced. Well, somebody that would love to get his hands on some of that Warren Buffett money is Barry Goldsmith. He is the host of the Been There, Haven't Done That podcast. He has also led Been There, Haven't Done That tours all over the world. Barry, last week we discussed returning to Europe. That's where Juliet is right now. You suggested taking outdoor walking tours. We talked a little bit about Paris. Any suggestions for other major European cities?
Sure. Thank you for having me, Frankie. I appreciate it. First of all, I want to say, Been There, Haven't Done That, before the pandemic, even recommended sites missed by most tourists and even missed by many natives, which means they're never even crowded during good times. So my sites are especially not crowded when we're coming back from the pandemic. But getting back to London, London is the city of many parks. In fact, the Queen can go from Buckingham Palace to Kensington Palace by just putting on her hiking boots and going through parks. She goes through St. James's Park first. Then she goes through Green Park, which almost attaches to Hyde Park, which attaches to Kensington Park, where Kensington Palace is located. So you can do lots of sightseeing by just walking through, breathing fresh air in parks. Plus, two unknown, been there, haven't done that museums are attached to parks. There's Apsley House, which is the home of the Duke of Wellington, who defeated Napoleon. And there's a gigantic statue of a practically naked Napoleon wearing a Roman toga in the stairwell. Plus, along Green Park is Somerset House, the ancestral home of Diana, Princess of Wales. So, yeah, you can go from one park to another and avoid crowded museums at the same time. And London should be opening next month. So make your reservations now.
Any other parks in or near London that you'd recommend for folks to check out?
Sure. There's another park in northern London called Hampstead Heath. It's a beautiful park. And there's Kenwood House. Kenwood House is a beautiful home by Robert Adam with one of the most beautiful libraries in the entire world. And you've seen it in the movies. It is the movie within a movie location in the movie Notting Hill with Julia Roberts. So that's another one. Plus, there's Kew Gardens. Kew Gardens has
Queens.
Not the one in Queens. This is one for Queens. It's for Queen Charlotte, the consort of George III.
Well, since you mentioned King George III, we're coming up on Independence Day. And do you have any American sightseeing suggestions in honor of our Independence Day for any Americans that might be visiting London?
Sure. As a matter of fact, London has Benjamin Franklin's only existing home. It was just restored earlier in this century. It's in the middle of downtown, right near Charing Cross Railroad Station and two blocks from the Savoy Hotel. And you basically have to make an appointment to go in there. So it's never crowded. And it's really terrific. Plus, in Grosvenor Square, where the American Embassy used to be, is John Adams' home at number 9, Grosvenor Square. But if you want to see homes of John Adams or places associated with John Adams and Ben Franklin, Frank, you just go to your hometown, Staten Island. There's it, right in New York, there's the Conference House, where 2.5 months after the July 4th Declaration of Independence, there was a quick meeting with Admiral Howe to see if we could arrive at some kind of peaceful solution to the American Revolution.
Unfortunately,
Unfortunately,
yeah,
right,
your hometown.
Unfortunately, yeah, they were not able to work that out, but it was an interesting meeting that took place on September 11th of all dates. Barry Goldsmith,
right,
of Been There, Haven't Done That Tours, thank you so much for the time this morning. Hopefully we'll chat again very, very soon. Meantime, if you are interested in the world of sports, Sid Rosenberg is your guide to everything that's worth following. Sid, how's it looking this morning?
Well, an amazing night last night. If you like late dramatic victories for the home teams, boy, did you get it. In fact, every team won last night. Let's start with the Islanders. They were facing elimination against the reigning Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Fresh off an 8-0 loss against Tampa Bay in Game 5, the Islanders found themselves down 2-0 last night. It was panic time, and they inched back and inched back, tied the game, and then in overtime, the Islanders keep the barns lights on.
Luna kept it away from Bevilier. Now Bailey over for the Islanders. Now off a giveaway, score! Anthony Bevilier sends the Islanders down to Tampa for Game 7 on Friday night.
There you have it. In overtime, a dramatic 3-2 comeback win for the Islanders, forcing a Game 7 in Tampa Bay tomorrow night. They will drop the puck at 8 p.m. Islander fans got a bit rowdy after this one. They threw beer all over the ice, which did bother some of the Islander folks. But in the end, big win for the Islanders. Game 7, live or die tomorrow night in Tampa Bay. Much like the Islander game, the Yankee game ended in very dramatic fashion. And once again, the home team walked off with a win.
1-2. Driven to left field, going back, Dyson, still back, turning, looking, it's off the wall. Here comes Wade. He scores, and the Yankees win 6-5.
So our buddy Michael K, Yes Network on the call. Chapman blew the save, but the Yankees got two in the bottom of the ninth, beat the Royals 6-5. Luke Voit, the game-winning hit. Yankees now are 4.5 behind Boston. They will host Kansas City. 1 o'clock tilt this afternoon in the Bronx. The Mets came alive last night offensively. Conforto was back. He had two hits. McNeil, three hits. A Lindor home run. They beat the Braves 7-3. The Mets remain atop the NL East in first place. 4 up on Washington. 5 up on Atlanta and Philly. The Mets enjoy a day off today. They host the Phillies in Queens tomorrow night. Eastern Conference Game 1 Finals. NBA. Hawks beat the Bucks 116-113. Sports at 15:45. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
Well, everybody knows you're not supposed to mix beer and ice. How dare those fans do that? 547, Joe Nolan, how the road's looking?
Down bumper to bumper now, 230s down to Fordham Road. An accident, one lane closed. BQE northbound, extra heavy from Industry City through Atlantic Avenue. An accident again, there's one lane out of service. Eastbound Route 22, slow from the Garden State Parkway to Bloy Street in the Hillside Union area. Apparently, there is some construction that is set up there. It's got a lane out, and there are delays. Transit Authority, downtown A trains have delays. Switch trouble up at 168th Street. And alternate side again today is in effect. This report of service to Rocket Mortgage. When you're ready to buy a new home and want a mortgage lender who can help you plan with certainty, Rocket can. Get personalized loan options, closing costs, tax estimates, all in real time. Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, we've got some more weather coming your way with Lloyd Lindsay-Young. I have a few more stories I'm going to tell you about. We'll be right back here on the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News.
Well, summer's here. What are you in store for in terms of heat? We have one of the finest weathermen in the history of New York broadcasting to tell you what you're in store for, thanks to the good folks over at Ramsey Mazda. Here's Lloyd Lindsay-Young.
Hello, West Caldwell, New Jersey, and all of the tri-state area. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay-Young, Double L here with your WABC weather. We're looking spiffy today. Really nice. Low humidity and a nice gentle breeze. Maximum temperatures below average for late June. My goodness, only in the upper 70s to low 80s. More of the same tomorrow. Now, we may have a few light showers tomorrow morning as a very weak upper-level low moves through the region. But all in all, very nice. Over the weekend, things change a little bit. A little more hot, a little more humid, mid to upper 80s. And oh boy, our extended outlook looking at next week. Frequent showers and thunderstorms, but hey, we'll worry about that then. Very nice day for the tri-state area. Enjoy. Lloyd Lindsay-Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. We'll check in with you next hour. It is a pleasure to have you on the radio. All right. Construction of a monument to the heroes of the pandemic, the essential workers, has begun. With plans to have it finished by Labor Day, the monument is called the Circle of Heroes, and it's being built in Battery Park City. The monument will feature 19 red maple trees to commemorate the different groups of essential workers, from nurses to police to firefighters, who served the nation during the pandemic. An eternal flame that symbolizes everlasting gratitude will also be installed at the monument. In the state of New Jersey, lawmakers could approve its more than $46 billion budget at a final vote today. The budget committees passed the spending plan yesterday after the, Tuesday, after the Democratic legislature came to an agreement with Governor Phil Murphy. The deal sets aside at least $4 billion to pay back the state's debt and hundreds of million going towards pension plans. But Republican lawmakers are criticizing the Democrats, claiming the budget is rushed. A new homeowner in Newark, New Jersey, got a disturbing surprise when a man claiming to be a Moorish sovereign citizen took over her house and changed the locks. I'm not joking. Shanetta Little says she called a locksmith and went to change the locks when a group of four men walked up to her outside the home, claiming they owned the property while showing her false documents. She called the cops and was able to get the man, now known as Hubert John, out. He later returned and used his key to get back in her house. Little then had to call the cops again before they carried him out of the house and into a squad car. Wow. Governor Murphy says New Jersey is on track to surpass its goal of vaccinating more than 4.7 million adults by the end of June. As of Friday, more than 4.8 million New Jerseyans had been vaccinated, but that includes teens. It comes as White House officials say they'll miss the mark of vaccinating 70% of American adults by the 4th of July. Despite New Jersey's success, officials are still pushing incentives as part of Operation Jersey Summer, like receiving a state park's vax pass if you roll up your sleeve before July 4th. And New Jersey's Liberty State Park Nature Center is reopening to visitors after nearly a decade. The facility was forced to close in 2012 after being flooded by Superstorm Sandy, causing severe structural damage and mold. The center underwent a $3.5 million renovation to bring everything back up to snuff. Department of Environmental Protection Commissioner Sean Lauterette says it's both a symbol of New Jersey's resilience and a commitment to protecting natural resources. Finally, a nice story. All right. Well, this story is something that can only be described as curious and disturbing. Computer programmer and antivirus founder John McAfee is dead. Officials in Spain says he was found dead yesterday in his Barcelona prison cell. They say he committed suicide. The 75-year-old was awaiting extradition to the United States on tax evasion charges. Shortly after his death was announced, a cryptic post appeared on McAfee's Instagram. It was simply an image of the letter Q, which many saw as a shout out to the QAnon conspiracy theory. Very interesting. Quite curious that it would just be the letter Q. Police are searching for a suspect in a possible bias attack on a transgender woman on a New York subway train. The woman, Nina Gray, identifies herself as a transgender woman. She says she had just boarded a southbound A train yesterday when a man who was holding a screwdriver made an anti-gay remark at her. He assaulted her with the screwdriver and then fled with another passenger when another passenger intervened. Transit officials say violent assaults on trains have actually fallen in the last 2 weeks since more police began patrolling the trains and the stations. So we're certainly going to keep an eye on that. It is a developing story and a trend that all of the mayoral candidates would like to see go in the opposite direction. Elton John releasing dates for his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour with plans to stop in New Jersey. The Rocket Man will be at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford Saturday, July 23rd, 2022. General admission tickets go on sale June 30th. He'll also be playing a postponed tour date at the Prudential Center on February 5th, 2022. Well, somebody who could take his Traffic and Transit Act on the road and definitely do a traffic and transit tour of some sort, certainly something I'd buy tickets to, is Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe.
I'll be at that Elton John concert a year from now at MetLife. Absolutely. Big
really?
Elton John fan.
You know who also used to be, I don't know if he would ever admit to this now, Donald Trump.
Really?
One of a handful of meetings that I've had with Donald Trump was the day after he had seen Elton John at Madison Square Garden, he and Melania, and he was going on and on about what an incredible performer Elton John was. Have you seen him perform in person before?
A couple of times. First time I saw him was in the summer of 1976.
Wow.
At Madison Square Garden. And I remember, Frank, it was an outrage. The tickets were $25.
Oh, my goodness. What you wouldn't give to pay $25 now.
No, I'd gladly pay $25 now. I think I saw a Prudential Center, though, like the real good ones are like $600.
Whoa.
Yeah. Southbound Deegan, 230s all the way down to Fordham Road. Bumper to bumper traffic. Again, an accident. One lane out. Northbound on the BQE. Extra heavy Industry City to Atlantic Avenue. Again, one lane out with a collision there. Also in New Jersey, a couple of big problems. Eastbound 78 coming out of the state line to exit 4, a vehicle fire. Then Route 22 eastbound. Bumper to bumper from the parkway to Blois Street with construction. Trans Authority, still those delays on the downtown A train. Switch trouble at 168th and alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I'll tell you what Britney Spears had to say in court next hour, and Sid Rosenberg has a lot more sports news. He'll also give us a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. We'll hear more from Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the sevens, and weatherman Lloyd Lindsay Young tells you what the weather is going to be like for the rest of the day. But first, a massive rescue effort is underway right now in Florida after a high-rise condo building collapsed. At least one person has been killed. It's all unfolding in Surfside, which is near Miami Beach. More than 80 emergency crews are on scene digging for survivors. It's unclear what caused part of the building to crumble overnight. One witness says it was the craziest thing he's ever seen. He posted a video on social media saying he was evacuated from his hotel across the street. Well, we'll have a whole lot more of the WABC early news coming up in just a bit. But first, here's Deb Valentine with all the news you need to know in your 77-second news update.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. We are the rooster to start your day. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Juliet Huddy is off all this week. She is around Europe. She's in Italy. And she's going to be back here on Tuesday. Meantime, one of the stories we're keeping an eye on, this is the front page of today's New York Post. Pop star Britney Spears says she just wants her life back. She spoke out against her father in court yesterday, begging the judge to end her conservatorship. She admitted she's not okay, despite her posts on social media. She said it was all a lie, revealing she's traumatized, depressed, and can't sleep. The 39-year-old talked about her desire to get married and have another child, two things that she claims she was told she can't currently do. Well, Missouri is now the third state in the country to pass a law designed to help spread to help prevent the spread of HIV. Governor Mike Parsons signed the measure this week. It allows anyone who believes they've been exposed to HIV to get emergency prevention medication at a pharmacy without a prescription. Officials say if the medication is taken within 72 hours, it's highly effective at preventing an HIV infection. Wow.
It looks like fears of coronavirus are at their lowest point since the pandemic began. That's the finding of a new poll from Monmouth University. It shows 47% of people are worried a family member might become infected. While that's still a lot, it's down from a previous high of 83%. At the same time, the survey also shows most people are concerned about a surge in cases as the new Delta variant continues to spread. Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see where we go with this Delta variant. We've seen what's happened with Great Britain, where a lot of folks are vaccinated and still coming down with this Delta variant. Hopefully in New York and in the United States in general, we don't see the Delta variant take hold to this extent. Well, there is no varying what's happening with the traffic. Good in some areas, not so good in others. But here to help guide you through it is Joe Nolan, who's got all your traffic and transit information on the sevens. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
All right, Frank, we're going to start as you begin to head out to the Major Deegan Expressway southbound. We're backed up from the 230s right on down and into Fordham Road with an accident, one lane out of service. Also on the Belt Parkway now eastbound, getting off at Merrick Boulevard, there's a crash. BQE northbound, extra heavy industry city to Atlantic Avenue, an accident, one lane out of service there. And then on Route 22 eastbound, very heavy, right around the parkway through Bloor Street. There with some road work there. And then eastbound on 78 now. This is all the way out right at the Pennsylvania line between the state line and exit 4. There's a vehicle fire. Now, as a result of that, bumper-to-bumper traffic leaving Pennsylvania coming into New Jersey. Transit Authority delays on the downtown A train. Switch trouble at 168th and alternate side is in effect. The support of service of Indeed.com. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Well, if you want to know if you need to grab an umbrella on your way to work now that you know what the traffic is like, fortunately, the Ramsey Mazda Weather Desk has your answer. Here is the one and only Lloyd Lindsay Young.
Hello, Costcom, Connecticut, and all of the tri-state area. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC weather. Fabulous weather for the tri-state area here in late June. We're just flirting with 80 degrees today. That's not bad. Humidity levels comfy, pretty nice day for sure. A very weak system early tomorrow morning. Could produce a few spritzels or light shower, but it's no big deal. All in all, a very, very nice. However, over the weekend, a little more heat, a little more humidity, mid to upper 80s all across the region. And next week looks unsettled, kind of like my stomach now. But it looks thunderstorms, but we'll worry about that then. So enjoy today and tomorrow. Very, very nice for this time of the year. Have a wonderful WABC day. Double L, Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. IKEA is apologizing for serving fried chicken on Juneteenth. You talk about tone deaf. A store in Georgia wanted to honor employees last Saturday with a holiday lunch menu. Along with the chicken, it included... this is not a joke. Along with the fried chicken, it included watermelon, mac and cheese, potato salad, collard greens, and candied yams. This didn't go over well with workers. More than 20 of them called out in protest, arguing that the food has been used to stereotype black people. IKEA said the menu was created with the best intentions, but they admit they got it wrong. The furniture retail giant promised to thoroughly honor Juneteenth in the future. I can't wait to see what's on the menu for next year. All right. Well, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of the state of New York, in announcing the memorial for essential workers in Battery Park City, did address questions about the mayor's race. And after going on a rant calling Bill de Blasio's administration incompetent and hyper-political, he had some very nice things to say about Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who at this point is the front runner in the Democratic race for mayor.
to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
As promised at 6:11, here is the governor of the state of New York commenting on likely Democratic nominee for mayor, Eric Adams.
I know Eric very well. We worked. He was in the Senate together. We did a lot of work together on many budgets, many bills for many years. So we worked on many issues together, and we did it personally. Borough president, obviously, is a different relationship. Governor, borough president, it's more of a social ceremonial when he was doing events, etc. I don't know if we had any specific initiatives as borough president that we worked on.
But you would say you have a positive relationship?
Yeah. Well, no, I like him very much. We have a good personal relationship, good professional relationship. I think he's a competent, individual. I think he is an individual that will instill confidence. And I think he is a person who will step up and show real leadership, especially on the issue of crime and quality of life, which will take political courage, because it is not a political win for anyone. You know, there's X percent want to defund the police. X percent say we want more police on the subways, etc. Well, how do you make everyone happy is what a politician is thinking. You can't. So you know what a politician does? They stay away. They stay away. It's a no-win politically. So they stay away. Yeah, except you can't do that if you're a serious government official, because doing nothing is the worst thing that you can do. And that's what has happened here. Okay, thank you, guys.
That is the word from Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday on mayoral Democratic likely nominee Eric Adams. As far as the president goes, more than half of Americans are giving a thumbs up to President Biden's job in office, including a very visible thumbs up from Sid Rosenberg.
Kidding, of course.
A new Fox News poll shows Biden has a 56% approval rating. That's a slight increase from 54% in April and May. Biden's handling of the pandemic has been his strongest issue overall, according to the poll. You're not buying this, Sid Rosenberg.
What has he done with the pandemic? Use Donald Trump's vaccines? What has he done?
So far.
Yeah, right.
So far.
He's the worst president in the history of the United States. The worst.
That's saying quite a bit.
That is saying quite a bit, because I was here for Jimmy Carter. The worst.
Worse than Carter?
Yes.
Worse
significantly
than Warren G. Harding?
I mean, come on. I didn't see Warren G. Harding operate.
How about worse than James Buchanan, who presided over the Civil War breaking out?
Well, that
bad.
Maybe,
that's bad.
It's debatable. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
I'm not going to just give the mantle to somebody else. Biden is bad enough to argue about anybody. Anybody.
Franklin Pierce.
We gave him a country that was doing great, and he's found a way to screw up everything. Everything.
Well, hopefully he hasn't had to found a way to screw up the Islanders' chances. Just
no, that
yet.
He can't do.
What else is happening in the world of sports?
Well, that's the big one, Frank. That is the big one. The Islanders facing elimination last night and trailing Tampa Bay 2-0 on home ice. It looked like it was over, and the Isles kept inching back, cut it to 2-1. Then tied the game. And then this in overtime.
1-2. Luna kept it away from Bevilier. Now Bailey over for the Islanders. Now off a giveaway. Score! Anthony Bevilier sends the Islanders down to Tampa for Game 7 on Friday night.
Anthony Bevilier with the overtime goal, and the Islanders come back from a 2-0 deficit, beat the Lightning 3-2, and force a decisive Game 7 coming up tomorrow night in Tampa Bay. They'll drop the puck at 8 p.m. This is quite a story. The lights are still on in the barn. The question is, can the Islanders get their second road win of the series and play in the Stanley Cup Finals against Montreal? We'll find out tomorrow night. Much like the Islanders, the Yankees walked it off in dramatic fashion.
1-2.
Driven to left field. Going back, Dyson. Still back. Turning. Looking. It's off the wall. Here comes Wade. He scores. And the Yankees win 6-5.
It's our good buddy Michael Kay on the call. Yes Network. Luke Voit. RBI single. The Yankees blew the lead in the ninth. Gave up two, Chapman, but they get two in the bottom of the ninth. Beat Kansas City 6-5. They needed that win. Yanks now find themselves 4.5 behind Boston. They've got an afternoon tilt in the Bronx today, a 1 p.m. start, once again hosting Kansas City. The Mets bats came alive last night. They were shut out in two consecutive games. Scored seven last night. Two hits for Michael Conforto in his return. Three hits from McNeil. A home run for Lindor. They beat the Braves 7-3. The Mets are still in first place atop the NL East. Right now, four better than Washington. Philly and Atlanta, five back. The Mets are off today. They'll host the Phillies coming up tomorrow. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1 NBA. The Hawks beat the Bucks 116-113 out west. Phoenix right now has a 2-0 lead over the Clippers. Sports at 15-45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
6:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, old buddy, we got delays on the Deegan southbound, bumper to bumper, 230s all the way down to Fordham Road. Again, an accident. Two lanes are out of service getting through there. We also have problems on the belt eastbound, Merrick Boulevard on that off-ramp. There's apparently an accident. That's in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Now, inbound on the Gowanus QE, bumper to bumper traffic as you start to come up to the area of Atlantic Avenue. There was an earlier accident. That has now been cleared, but still very heavy and slow traffic as you get on through there. And then also the Transit Authority delays on the downtown A trains with switch trouble at 168th Street. The support of services, Staples Stores. Staples Connect helps your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. And right now, get $10 off signs, banners, or posters when you spend $50 or more. Offer ends 7/3, valid in-store or online. Visit staples.com/signage for details. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Well, yep. Buckle up. Get ready because you are mere moments away from a Sid Rosenberg preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. But first, I've got to tell you about Amazon buying 14 new renewable energy products in the U.S., Canada, Finland, and Spain. The goal of the online retailer is to be 100% reliant on renewable energy by 2025. Amazon claims it's now the largest corporate buyer of renewable energy in the world. Founder Jeff Bezos says their investments show investing in green technologies is the right thing to do for the planet and for its citizens. Microsoft is upgrading one of the most used pieces of software on the planet today. The tech giant is launching a new version of its Windows software, the first upgrade since launching Windows 10 6 years ago. The operating system will be called Windows 11, and Microsoft will launch it with a live stream at 11 a.m. Eastern. It can be viewed at WindowsCentral.com. The NASDAQ was up a bit yesterday, about 18 points, and it set a new record at the close. Both the Dow Jones was down 71 points, the S&P 500 down 4. That is what's happening in the world of business. Meantime, in the world of politics, I woke up from a nap yesterday afternoon to see all sorts of footage of a press conference featuring my candidate for mayor, Curtis Sliwa, in front of our building, joined by the owner of this radio station, John Catsimatidis, and sure enough, the man right behind them, the man jump-starting this whole press conference was none other than Sid Rosenberg. And all I'm thinking is, why didn't Sid mention that there was going to be a press conference when I saw him that morning?
That would have been a good idea if I knew, of course. So I'm leaving yesterday morning after the show with Bernard, and I'm kind of standing on the corner, got my headset on, listening to The Best of Bread, getting some sun.
The what? The what? The
Bread.
Best of Bread.
That's right. The group Bread, they sing, Aubrey, they sing Baby I'ma Want You.
I see.
A great group. One of my favorite 70s groups of all time. And I see Stephanie and Doug, these are names you don't know, they're co-workers, taking a podium outside. I see Dan Herschel putting an American flag outside. So I just kind of ask, I go, what's going on over here? Oh, big Curtis Sliwa press conference. This is literally 10:15 in the morning. Then they start coming out, Chad Lopez, John Catsimatidis, Emily Pankow, George. I'm like, wow, this is a pretty big deal. I'm going to stick around. So I just happened to be standing there, like Curtis's bodyguard, as some people thought this morning on New York One. And John said, come up to the mic. So John started talking, And then he just kind of handed it off to me. I had no idea, nothing prepared, obviously. And then I just introduced Curtis, and then Curtis did his thing and showed everybody why he's prepared and ready to be the next mayor of New York City. It was great.
Yeah. In fact, do we have a clip of that press conference from yesterday? This is the press conference that Sid Rosenberg was at with John Catsimatidis and Curtis Sliwa. Listen to this.
Curtis Sliwa is New York. You cut my veins and arteries. I bleed NYC. Come on. Come on, all of you contenders. I'm ready to take you on.
Actually, I think that was from the Bernie and Sid show.
It was.
Your exclusive interview with Curtis Sliwa.
Yes,
Sliwa
we got that at 7:05. That was from that. But anyway, he spoke on everything. Eric Adams, what he's going to do with police, what he's going to do with the subways. And then he had a big party last night, which I was invited to. I was invited to three events yesterday, but I can't do it. Needless to say, his was a big one at L&B Spumoni Gardens with your dear friend, Arthur Idala, who called me about 10 times. And Geraldo Rivera and I guess
Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy, yes.
Frank Setio.
Right, but I won't go back to L&B because about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and it's a great pizza place, and I'm a Brooklyn guy. I get all that nonsense. I was waiting online with my wife and kids for like an hour and a half. I'm not kidding you. And I walked in, and I pulled a Reese Witherspoon. I said, don't you know who I am? And they're like, yeah, whatever. And I looked inside the restaurant, and on the green chalkboard in the back of the dining room, it said, welcome Boomer and Craig. I'm like, are you kidding me? The WFAN guys have signs up inside the restaurant, and I'm waiting outside for 90 minutes? Your pizza ain't that good. I've never gone back since.
Yeah, I was listening to you describe that on the way home yesterday morning, and all I'm thinking of is how does Sid think he has a right not to wait in line?
Wait a second.
Like
Steve,
everybody else.
Steve, no, they don't wait online. Steve Swipper doesn't wait online. Craig Carton doesn't wait online. Boomer Esiason doesn't wait online. And look, I got news for you, at the risk of sounding completely douchey, okay? When you're famous or people know who you are supposed to enjoy some of the fringe benefits. I'm not Simon Putzky who lives on Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn.
You know why I love you, Sid? Because you don't even pretend to want to be treated like everybody
no.
else. You are going out of your way saying you want special treatment.
Absolutely.
Across
I mean,
the
I'm
board.
Not De Niro. I'm not Chaz Palminteri, but I'm somewhere in between. You can't make me stand outside for 90 minutes with a bunch of losers from Cropsey Avenue.
Somewhere in between Robert De Niro, Chaz Palminteri, and the regular John
Correct. Cooper. Right. Exactly right.
Wow. I still like L&B. I still like
the Oh, the pizza. Food's terrific, but yeah. I got news for you. I got a place called Mama's 2 on Broadway and 106th Street, and I'm telling you, their grandma slice, their square, every bit as good, if not better, than L&B.
Wow.
I'm not going to travel an hour to Cropsey Avenue and have these idiots make me wait outside like I'm like some regular guy.
Fair enough. All right. Whew, what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
Three people, not regular guys.
Ooh.
How about that? We'll start with Dr. Mark Siegel. Got to find out about this vaccination thing because my daughter is going to eventually move to London. She's going to London in August. She may need the vaccination, but we're hearing these horror stories, Frank, about young kids getting these shots and their hearts enlarged.
These are stories from the CDC itself.
Right, who you can't trust anyway.
Mm.
But I can trust Dr. Mark Siegel, a frequent guest on Fox News. He'll join us at 7:40 this morning. Today marks the return, after a one-week hiatus at Yellowstone Park, of Bill O'Reilly.
Mm.
He's back today. And then we'll talk some Giants. Eli Manning got a job with the Giants this week. Jim Bossel died a couple of weeks ago with former Giant Pro Bowler and Super Bowl hero Luke Pettigrew. So he'll be on the show, too. So three really good guests coming up today on the Bernie and Sid Show.
And all from different spheres.
You right.
got medicine, you got politics, you got sports covered. That's a textbook Bernie and Sid show. Now, what do you have on your chest that you're eager to comment on?
My chest?
Yeah, what do you have on your chest?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, what are you going to you have a show that's ready to burst out of your soul, I'm sure. What is number one on your agenda?
Oh, what's kind of bothering me today?
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm actually in a very, very good mood today. I enjoyed that press conference yesterday. I ended up on television, according to Gabby.
Yeah, we saw
and,
you all day.
We were
watching you on New York One.
Yeah, I
Absolutely.
Didn't see it. I didn't see it. But otherwise, I'm pretty happy. I got a lot of good stuff going. I'll tell you what. You want to talk about being completely bougie. I called Rosanna Scotto yesterday.
Mm.
And everybody is raving about her restaurant, you know, Fresco.
I've been there. I like it a lot. A little overpriced, but I
okay.
like it.
Okay. Well, you've been there. Andrew Cuomo's been there. So I call her and I say, listen, I want to stop by the restaurant one of these nights. She said, well, I'll tell you what. No one knows this yet, but Bill and Hillary are coming tonight. This was yesterday afternoon. And certainly I have no no desire to see Bill and Hillary. But she was so sweet about it. So she goes, listen, you can come here. She goes, but my husband is a huge fan of yours. He loves you. And what I'd like to really do is have the four of us eat together the first time you're here. I said, well, that's very, very nice. So she spends every weekend in the Hamptons, of course. Mm-hmm. So the only night that she really can go to the restaurant is Thursday nights. So July 15th, it'll be the Scottos and the Rosenbergs. And that's a very exciting night.
Now, you have no problem broadcasting exactly where you're going to be eating dinner on July 15th.
No, not at all.
Great. Well, hey, if you're in Midtown, folks, stop by Sid, the Rosenberg Scotto table. Help make Sid look like a big shot to all the presidents and news anchors that are dining among him. Stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show. Bill O'Reilly coming up, Luke Pettigrew coming up, Dr. Mark Siegel, and the comparatively more humble Bernard McGurk, who will not refuse to wait in line. Thank you. Have a great day. Here's Joe Nolan with the traffic.
Just walk up one by one. You said Rosenberg? Deegan southbound, bumper to bumper.
Can you imagine?
Southbound Deegan, extra heavy from the 230s of Fordham Road, an accident, one lane out. Eastbound Belt Merrick Boulevard, an accident. That's being cleared now. Inbound on the Go On to Speak Huey, coming up from 65th Street all the way to Atlantic Avenue. Bumper-to-bumper traffic, and again, that because of an earlier stall. Eastbound 78, very heavy still coming out of Pennsylvania at exit 4. Vehicle fires, that also still in the process of being cleared. Transit Authority, downtown 4-train switch trouble at 168th. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.